shaking earth, and so we're going to dig right in and find out what it means and how it applies to us. And today, we find Moses hiding on the backside of the desert, hiding out. He'd run away. See, Moses had done some stuff he was ashamed of. He had made some really bad mistakes. And he ran. And he hid. He's on the other side of nowhere. And he was hiding. He was hiding from his past. I've heard it said that every saint has a past. And every sinner has a future. But Moses was hiding from his past. And he was hiding from the consequences that he would have to pay if he went back to face his past. Maybe he was hiding from himself. For whatever reason, here he was on the backside of the desert, on the other side of nowhere, and he was hiding out. What are you hiding from? Right after I moved to Hayward about 20 years ago, somebody pulled me aside and said, you know, one thing about Hayward, said, there are folks up here who have moved here because they're hiding. Like they moved from like Chicago or Minneapolis or something, and they're hiding out from what they were. I don't know if that's true or not. But often we do. We try to hide from ourselves and from our past and maybe the mistakes that we've made. And Moses was doing this. Here he is on the other side of nowhere hiding out. Wasn't living up to his name by any stretch. His name, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Moses means drawn out. He was drawn out of the water. He was drawn out to be a leader. And yet, here we find him on the backside of the desert. He wasn't living up to his name. He was hiding out, not drawn out. And there Moses is, tending sheep, a sheep farmer. Used to be the prince of Egypt. Now he's just herding sheep, hiding out on the backside of the desert. And when you're on the other side of nowhere, guess what? God knows where. God knows where you are. He knows right where you are. He's got your number, and God had Moses' number. He knew exactly where Moses was. Now, I don't really believe that God sends us necessarily through the hard stuff. Occasionally, He sends us there. Sometimes we get there on our own doing. But no matter what, He uses that stuff. God knows right where we are, and He uses where we are for His glory and for our good. And we see that God found Moses far, far from home, far from where he ought to be. God found him. He checked him out, and He found him. He knew right where he was. And God spoke his name through a bush, a burning bush. Moses! Moses! Now, can you imagine? Here's Moses, just a regular, ordinary day like he's always had, day after day after day. When you're a Bedouin sheep farmer, what do? You just chase the sheep all day long, and then you go home. It's a normal day for him until he sees this bush, and the bush doesn't burn up. I mean, it just keeps on burning, and other bushes don't catch on fire. It's not like a forest fire, you know, it isn't a thing like that. It's just this one bush, and it's just really strange and weird, and it doesn't go out. It just keeps going, and this voice coming out, Moses, Moses. Now, that gets your attention. So here's Moses on the other side of nowhere, and God knows where he is, and God shows up. He comes, and he has a message for Moses. Now, just a couple of thoughts here on that. It's this. You know, for Moses, he thought it was just a hiding out place, the wilderness, the desert. He didn't see why he was there. He didn't know why he was there, but God did. God was using the desert to train him. Like, the desert was his school. It was his training grounds. And so God was refining him and molding him and shaping him to become one of the greatest leaders the world has ever seen. But he had to get his education through being a sheep farmer for a while. Now, I thought about this the other day. I thought, wouldn't it be something if, like, we decided to vote out all the politicians and vote in farmers instead. So like Congress would be just totally made up of farmers. Like in the House of Representatives, all farmers. Senate, all farmers. And the president, a farmer too. You know, I have a hunch that the decisions they would make would be common sense decisions. Like, they would make a lot of sense. And everybody would go, now that's it. That's what it's all about. The reason why is because when you're a farmer, you learn about life and you learn about wisdom and what just makes sense. When you use your backbone more than your jawbone, you end up thinking more about life and the real meanings of life. And so, obviously, being a farmer for Moses would be a good thing. That's training ground for him to be this great, great leader of Israel. And there have been studies, by the way, of the greatest leaders the world has ever known, and Moses has always been on the top 10 list, always, of all leaders of all time. And he got his training as a farmer. And so here he is hiding out, and all along God is training him. And what that says, by the way, for you, is all the experiences you've had in your life up to this point, every experience, good and bad, all the stuff you've been through, even the hard stuff, that's been your education for what God wants to do for you in the days to come and through you in the days to come. So here's Moses, the runaway fugitive from the law who's hiding out, and God just draws him out again, and he calls his name from the burning bush. Now, God speaks to us in the most unusual ways. I mean, this bush, that's really unusual. I don't know if anybody here has ever been spoken to by a bush or not. But God does speak to us. He really does. He kind of showed himself to me like that a couple of times in recent months. I remember last February, I was going through a tough time. Just financial challenges were on my mind. It was kind of weighed heavy on my shoulders. And I took a drive. I went out into the deep woods on some of the old back roads and stuff. And, what I found is when I need peace of mind, I pray best when I'm in the woods. Whether I'm in my car in the woods or walking in the woods. But either way, just somehow I pray best that way. And so I went out, and it had snowed the night before, and the snow had like turned into ice crystals on all the trees. And the late afternoon sun was just shining in really bright, and it looked like every tree was just ablaze with the glory of God. It was just a reflection of the sun on all the ice crystals. It was like diamonds that were just glistening and shining everywhere. It was absolutely beautiful as I'm driving through both sides of the road. You've seen that kind of stuff, right? Around here, it's just amazing. And so I'm driving down and I look, and you know what God just said to my heart? He just spoke to my heart. He said this: if I can make something cool like this, I can certainly take care of your little problem. If I'm big enough to create a glorious view like this, then what you're dealing with, that's just small potatoes. That's true. It's so true. The same kind of thing happens in the fall every year. When the leaves turn, they turn red and yellow and orange, and they just explode all the way across the countryside. Oh, man, there's nothing more beautiful than that here in the Northwoods. But all those leaves are declaring God's glory and His praise. And so if you're discouraged or downhearted this fall, just go take a drive, and you'll see it. God will speak through the bush. He'll speak through the burning bush. Yep, Moses was on the other side of nowhere, but God knew right where he was. God knows where you are. And God showed up. He went there. He meets you where you are. He meets you right there. And any place that God shows up is a sacred space. Every single place is a sacred space when God shows up. Now, God always shows up. God's always present. Omnipresent is one of the most important things about God. He's always there and always here. And that's just true. Like, no matter how you feel at any moment, God's always there. However, there are other times, certain times, when God shows up in like a special way. It's more than just the fact that He's always here. But He says, I am here right now in a very real, intangible way for you. That kind of thing. And it's powerful. When God shows up, that is an extremely sacred place. Now, that could be here at church. And there are times here at church where you come and we gather together. And we are the church. The church isn't the building. We're the church. But as we worship together, and maybe you just in a prayer time or something, or maybe in a sermon or something, you just sense God's presence. And you know that God's with you. And it's a sacred space. And I know it's going to be all right. God's with me. It could happen here. But it doesn't have to just happen here. In my life as a pastor, I've experienced many sacred spaces all along the way, not only in my own personal life, but also I've witnessed it with others. The sacred space could be the hospital room. And I mentioned at the first service, a fellow came up to me, who was a summer resident, he came up to me and said, you know, I was just there not long ago, and he said, and you know, Jesus came to meet me in my hospital room. He just, the whole place was flooded over with his peace, and I knew it was going to be okay. That's a sacred space. It can happen at the funeral home. And you know that the comforting presence of God is with you, and he's going to see you through, and it's a sacred space. You know he's with you. It can happen late at night in a conversation over the dinner table, just in the dining room table. You're sitting down and you're talking about the deep things of life with your family and people you love. And that becomes a sacred space. Or it could be a long-distance telephone call that you have with somebody and they're speaking truth into your life. And as you're hearing their words, you know it's going to be okay. And God speaks to you and says, I am here. And this is a sacred space. Wherever God shows up, it's a sacred space. And what did God say to Moses? He said, take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. This is sacred ground. There have been a few times in my life where I've taken off my shoes just because I felt it was so sacred I had to do it. Like the Sunday morning that we were going to move into this building right here, into this sanctuary. It was going to be Sunday morning. On Saturday night, the night before, I came over here to the church. Brand new church, brand new chairs, brand new everything. And the next day was going to be our first worship service here in this building. And I came in to pray and to ask God just to bless our service and to bless our church and to help us. And as I walked in here, I just felt the presence of God in such a powerful way. I just felt like I had to take off my shoes. And so I did. I just took off my shoes and I prayed. I just prayed, oh God, may every single time that we gather, may we feel your presence here. And may every single person who walks through the doors, the front doors of this church, whether it's for a worship service or a hunter safety class or a Boy Scout meeting or whatever it is, if they walk through the door, that they would just feel that your presence is here and that you love them and you're with them. Oh, God, please do. And I prayed and prayed. And I marched up and down the aisles. I went without my shoes on, just praising God. I thought, I sure hope nobody comes and watches. They're going to think their pastor's off his rocker doing this. But it was real. It was sacred for me. It's a touch point for me. I'll always go back to it and remember when God showed up in this empty sanctuary. There have been several times since where I've sat alone here in this church, and I've just sensed God's presence in this sacred, sacred space. Take off your shoes, he says. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. This is sacred space. And so God gets Moses' attention. Moses. Moses. Whenever he calls somebody by name two times, he's trying to say something to them. He says, Abraham. Abraham. And Abraham says, here I am. Moses. Moses. Here I am. By the way, there was another guy that was hiding from God. Adam. Adam. Where are you? And you know what? Adam didn't say, here I am. He just ran and he hid behind a bush. I mean, God spoke to Moses through a bush. Adam was hiding behind a bush. And so God says, Moses, Moses, he says this. He says, I've heard the cry of my people. And so I want you to go help them. I'm calling you. You see, when God shows up in the sacred space, when he shows up on the other side of nowhere and he gets our attention, it isn't just to give us warm spiritual goosebumps, although that's a good thing. It's great to just feel God's presence and his love. But the reason why he connects up with us is so he can send us out to be a help and a blessing to other people. That's the whole point. It isn't just for us. It's for them. It's for them. God didn't hunt Moses down just for him, for his own benefit. It was for the benefit of others. Moses, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. I'm going to send you so you can go make a difference in their lives. And that's powerful stuff. And then Moses asked a question. He asked the wrong question. I mean, he just asked the dumbest and the wrong question. Just a really wrong question. His answer, verse 11, it says, "Who am I? Who am I? I can't do that. There's no way on earth I can do that. I'm just a fugitive. I mean, I killed a man. I did something really bad, and now I'm hiding out. I'm on the other side of nowhere. Who am I? I'm just somebody that's hiding away. That's all I am. I don't have what it takes." Later on, he made all kinds of excuses. He said, "I can't talk. I can't speak. I don't have the ability. I'm not gifted. Who am I? Who am I?" Maybe you've asked that question. Maybe you sensed that God wanted you to do something and you responded by, "Who am I? I can't do this." And God says, "That's the wrong question." Now, it doesn't say it right here in the Bible, but this is my picture of what God said in response to that. He said, "Hello, hello, I am speaking, I am communicating to you out of a bush, a scrawny, spindly, thorny bush, a regular, ordinary old bush. And if I can use a bush to be my messenger, don't you think I could use you?" You know, God has a way of using the most unusual things and the most unusual people. Like later on in the Bible, it talks about Balaam, who was running the wrong direction from God. God spoke to him through his donkey. Like the voice of God coming through the donkey. Hey, listen, if God can speak through a donkey, if God could use a donkey to be his messenger, and if God could speak through a bush and use a bush to be his messenger, don't you think God could speak through you and make you his messenger of his grace? Don't you think he could use you? Never, ever, ever say, "Who am I?" That's the wrong question. If God calls you to do it, he has a reason for it. Because it isn't about who you are, it's who God is. That's the bottom line. God didn't hunt down Moses on the other side of the desert because he was such a great, great person. No, it's despite of all his flaws and his failures and the mistakes he had made. God said, "Good, I can use all that junk of his life to do something great with it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you back to the very place you were running from." In fact, maybe for you, that's going to be the case. Maybe there was a very painful thing that happened in your life early on, a long time ago. And you've hid from it. You've run away from it. And God wants to call you back to that place so you can minister to other people who are in that place. That you can come and you can bring God's message of redemption and grace back to others who are stuck in that place that you've been running away from and hiding from. That's what happened to Moses. God said, "You're asking the wrong question. It isn't who you are, Moses. That doesn't matter one bit. That doesn't count. It's not worth a hill of beans, that question. Who am I?" There's another question that's so much more powerful. Here it is. God says, "Tell them I am sent you." Who am I? He says, that's the question. Who am I? Tell them the great I am sent you. That's what you need to tell them. Tell them I am sent you. It doesn't say, "Tell them I used to be sent you. The great I used to be." No, sometimes we think like that about God. We think he's the great I used to be. And we look at our culture and our world today, and it's just going south so terribly. I mean, so many bad things are happening. I mean, do you see that all over the place? There are biblical values that our nation used to hold, and now they don't hold them anymore. Have you noticed that? Even in the last 10 years or so, it's just gone downhill so much. And you look around, you say, wow, things aren't the way they used to be. They aren't the way they used to be. And it breaks our hearts. But listen, folks, God is still alive and well. It isn't like God used to be and he isn't anymore. God's still with us, and God is still the same God that he ever was, and we can bring his living presence right into the junk and right into our culture that's falling apart. We can do that. No, he's not just the great I used to be. Back a long time ago, there was this fad that went around for a while. People wore bracelets and had t-shirts and stuff. It was WWJD. Remember that? What Would Jesus Do? It was based on a wonderful book called In His Steps, where a group of people made this decision, I am not going to do anything without first asking the question, what would Jesus do? And that's a great thought. It's a great question, but it doesn't go far enough. Because when you ask, what would Jesus do, what that sounds like is that Jesus used to be, and now he isn't around anymore, and so we have to think backwards to what he would have done if he would be in our shoes today, like he was, and now he isn't anymore, so we have to recreate it. What would Jesus have done if he would be here? No, that's the wrong thing. Maybe instead of saying, what would Jesus do, we say, what will Jesus do? Or maybe do it this way, W-I-J-D, what is Jesus doing? And I'm going to join him in it. I'm going to jump right in there and join him in whatever he's doing. Because if I join him in what he's doing, it's going to be good stuff. Amen? And so what will Jesus do? What's he doing? God is saying, I am, not I used to be. And that's great news for all of us. And God didn't say, tell him the great I'm gonna be sent ya. Now, I like the I'm gonna be part of God, that someday, somehow, some way, he's gonna make it all good and straight. And the song that the young people sang right before the prayer time today, I'd never heard it before this morning. But they sang about the glory of God, that someday we're gonna walk with him in heaven, and it's just gonna be wonderful. Someday we're gonna be with our God. Someday I'm gonna be there with him. But you know, he is alive and he is well here today. We don't have to just wait until the great someday out there. But we can experience him here and now today. I am, he says. I am the beginning and I am the end. And I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am, I am, I am. I am the one who is there for you. I am the answer to your prayer. I'm the one that satisfies. I am Jehovah. I am your protector. I am your healer. I am your keeper. Oh, if you just read it over and over in the passages of Scripture, it says, I am, I am, I am. And in the New Testament, Jesus continues on with it. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the shepherd of the sheep. He says, I am the gate. I am the gate. You can walk through me. I am the resurrection and the life. And the very last thing that he said to his disciples, I'll be with you always to the very end. I am with you forever and ever and ever. He's the great I am, not the great I was. And when we realize that he's right there, he's right there in the middle of it with us, on the far side of the desert, on the other side of nowhere. You know what the other side of nowhere is? It's this side of somewhere. I mean, he's right there, right there. Wherever God is, that's the center of the universe. And he's with you. So I'm going to ask you to remember these things. We're going to be receiving communion in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to search your heart, just to think about these things. Is there any area of your life where you've been hiding, just kind of running away from, that God wants you to go back and to embrace? Have you felt like you've been on the far side of the desert, far away from where you think your destiny should have been, or whatever? Maybe you feel like you've just been dumped off. Well, listen, God's going to meet you. Sacred space. Think about that. What are the sacred spaces? Maybe this morning can be a sacred space for you. And he speaks, I am. I am for you today who I say I am. And that's true. Well, let's pray. Lord, we join our hearts together now in prayer. And we pray that you'd meet us here this morning. And as we receive communion, it reminds us of the cross. And we all gather together at the foot of the cross. And you said that you are the resurrection and you are the life. And you are our hope. We thank you. Please, Father, we ask that you would speak to us today. If there's anything within us that needs to be set right, please do that within us today. Help us to have contrite and humble spirits. And at the end of this day, as we leave this place, we'll say it's been good to be in your presence and in your house. Thank you, O God, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask my helpers to come and as we serve communion together. You don't have to be a member of our church to take communion. It's open to anybody whose heart is open to Jesus Christ. You don't have to take communion if you don't want to. If you wish not to take it, nobody will think less of it.